All right, let's take a look at this Mets team right now at 37-30 after a doubleheader split with the Atlanta Braves. There'll be plenty more doubleheaders to come, folks, if you haven't had enough of them. That's six now for the Mets, and they have another one coming up on Friday, and there's a couple of more down the line, too. So I'm sure you enjoy them, and hey, look, seven-inning games, there could be worse things anyway. But the Mets are at 37-30, and it's the return of Jacob deGrom, and hopefully the return for good. And he was very good on Monday night. Five innings of scoreless ball, just one hit allowed, a couple of walks, six strikeouts. Now, he tuned up, and he should be ready to go from here and go much deeper into games. And, boy, could the Mets use that, because there's a lot of bad news coming your way because of more injuries. A day doesn't go by when the Mets don't have some kind of injury, and there were quite a few of them on Monday. But there is going to be good news at the end of this podcast, so stay tuned for that, okay? Let's take them, I guess, in order as they came today. Robert Gsellman was placed on the injured list. He has a tear in his right lat. That's going to be somewhere in the vicinity of 6 to 8 weeks, and that means really not throwing for 6 weeks at least. So when you consider that, you're going to need, you know, 4 to 5 weeks probably on the other side to get the arm back up and a ramp back up, and that puts you into September. If we see Robert Gsellman again this year, I guess I'll be surprised. I'm not going to be shocked if he's back before the end of the season, but I wouldn't be counting on him at this point in time. Jeurys Familia was next to fall. He has a right hip impingement. You can quibble with Familia's walks this year. His walk rate is much too high, has been for a while over the last couple of seasons, and it's high this year too, but I think he's throwing the ball pretty well this season. Strikeout rate is very good, and he's managed to get a good ground ball rate as well. You're going to lose Familia as well. He's on the injured list. I don't think that will be too long after 10 days, but we'll see. Right hip impingement, hopefully he can come through that and get back into the bullpen in fairly short order. And then there's Joey Lucchese. Lucchese has a significant tear in the UCL ligament, obviously in his pitching elbow. He's going to need Tommy John surgery. They're getting a second opinion for him. He wants a second opinion, but trust me, it's a significant tear, and Joey Lucchese is going to be gone for the year and most of next year as well, too, with Tommy John. That's too bad. Listen, he obviously had pitched much better of late, a 1.19 ERA, obviously, over, I think, his last three or four starts. So, and he was settling in as an option in the rotation. You know, he was a fifth starter, and again, the Mets are going to have to replace him in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, right now, anyway, the options are not exactly limitless. We did see one tonight in Jared Eichhoff, and he was very good. He pitched four innings of scoreless ball. Eichhoff is an innings eater, and that's exactly what the Mets need right now, because starting on Monday, this day, they have nine games in 7 days, doubleheader on Monday, doubleheader on Friday, and it doesn't let up after that. They have a makeup against Washington, then they have to go to Atlanta, then they come home, obviously. They're going to have to play the Yankees. You just keep rolling. They have an off day on Thursday, and that's the last off day they're going to have before the All-Star break. So this is going to hit them pretty heavy at this point in time, and you need arms. And at the very least, you need inning eaters, and Jared Eichhoff is an inning eater. They have other possibilities. You have Nick Tropiano, who they signed. He's probably a guy you're going to see at some point in time. Thomas Cipucci is down on the farm as well. He's been up and down at AAA, but that's a guy you might see. You can't have Jordan Yamamoto. He's on the 60-day injured list right now. Noah Syndergaard is still a ways away. Carlos Carrasco is with the team, but you know he is still a ways away as well. So you can't look at any of those guys as being saviors right now. And you're going to need some arms in there. And we'll get to how they're going to get those arms a little bit later on. But when you take a look at the team, listen, they're getting healthier in one regard. Some of the position players are coming back. Jeff McNeil came back, had a pinch hit single on the first pitch. You would expect that from McNeil. If you could place a bet that Jeff McNeil would swing at the first pitch in his first at bat in about 2 months, You probably wouldn't that because he did last. He did on Monday night. He was terrific. A line drive single into center field. Hit some balls hard in game two. Did not have a hit, but McNeil figures that he's found a couple of things in his rehab. And he went back to looking at some film and doing some things that he was doing in 2019 when he was hitting the ball rather hard and rather well. So hopefully you get that Jeff McNeil back instead of the one that was struggling. McNeil is here. Michael Conforto will follow very shortly. Brandon Nimmo probably very shortly after that. So those three are all coming back. And don't forget about J.D. Davis. He's been gone a long time, I know, and he's probably going to be the last of the four to get here. McNeil's already here. Conforto and Nimmo are coming. JD will come at some point in time, but you're going to get those four guys back. It's obviously going to make you a better team, you hope anyway, as if they can assimilate into things, and then you take it from there. They may lose Jonathan Villar for a little while as well, because after the game we were told that he has right calf tightness. This is the same leg that he had the hamstring problem with. That didn't sideline him for very long, but it's the same leg. I don't know if they're connected at all. Probably have to find out tomorrow or the day after. We'll see if they can play it day by day with VR. But, if he's going to be sidelined for a while, you're going to have to put him on the IL and search for somebody else. So that doesn't help as well. VR has been a terrific leadoff hitter for them. He's played very well at third base. And he's been a catalyst for this team, no question. There's been a lot of catalysts, but he's been a big one. So if you lose VR for any length of time, that's obviously going to hurt. So the right calf tightness, we'll have to check on that. But that's where you sit right now. Now, the bad part, the Mets have lost 5 of 7 after the split with the Braves on Monday. And outside of a 5 spot that Francisco Lindor personally put up himself in the 5-1 win down in Washington in the first game of the doubleheader they had down there, the Mets now have scored a total of 8 runs in the other 6 games. So that's not going to cut it. All right, you just can't do that, especially with the pitching wounded the way it is. And that's, taking into consideration that DeGrom and Stroman and Taijuan Walker have been terrific as your top 3 starters for most of this season. Walker had a tough outing his last time out, not his standard outing. But the other guys, have been terrific. And Walker has, too. I mean, he's been a revelation for them thus far. But, again, you can't count on just those 3 guys. Lucchese is now gone. You're going to have to fill that rotation spot. And, you're going to need 5 starters as you go through here and try to get around these doubleheaders that are coming up and the ton of games that you have in a row. So it's not going to be easy. And you've got to get the offense jump-started here. You just can't keep going along trying to win 1-0 games. And that was the score in game number 2. Another 1-0 defeat at the hands of the Atlanta Braves. But 8 runs over 6 games is not going to cut it for the Mets. One thing that jumps out, and this is the good news anyway, Steve Cohen, who now owns the New York Mets, as you know, was down in Washington on Sunday. And, Cohen jetted in to watch the game on Sunday, which ended up being a Mets loss. They dropped 3 of 4 down there. But one thing that he said jumped out at me, and it's something that every Met fan should take to heart and really rejoice in, because it's something that you never heard with the Wilpons here. You certainly haven't heard it in a couple of years, or maybe decades with the Wilpons. But Steve Cohen said something, and I'll quote it in a minute, and this should send just joy and exultation through Mets fans' bones. If you haven't heard it yet, this is quoting him now. He was asked about upgrading the team at the trading deadline, and even about going past Major League Baseball's luxury tax threshold, which is $210 million, and the Mets are pretty close. They still have some wiggle room there, probably on the order of $10 million or thereabouts, I think, maybe a little bit less than that. But nonetheless, they're fairly close. But he was asked about that at the, is that going to impede him at all during the deadline? And this is what he had to say. This is quoting now. That's something to think about, right? Because there's a price to pay if you go over it for the following year and the year after it. We're not going over for $1 million, $2 million. That's stupid, right? So if you're going to do it, you're going to do it. So we'll see. We'll see what's available. I mean, that's got to be music to Mets fans' ears, because obviously, look, he's not going to just go over the luxury tax threshold. If they're going to pay a fine, and he doesn't care, he'll blast past it. And that's a great sign, because you may have to go out there and you may have to get a stud pitcher at the deadline to hook up with DeGrom and Stroman and Walker. If Carrasco isn't going to be back in time, if he's not going to be the same pitcher this year, if you can't get anything out of Syndergaard, you know, they may have to go out and get a big guy. And who that is at this point in time, hey, probably way too early to tell. But that's when I heard that, I said, wow. That's pretty impressive, because, you know, that tells me that if they go over the luxury tax threshold, and they may very well, and I don't think that's going to, you know, stop them at all, they're going to go way over it. I mean, they, unless you try to spend as little money as you possibly can and stay under the deadline, but if you have to and you have to do what it takes, then go out and do it. And that's exactly what he said. We're going to do what it takes. And it's, you know, just going over a slight bit, that's stupid. You know, if you're going to pay a fine, what the heck? You might as well blow it out of the water and pay the fine for the next couple of years anyway. So that's great news for the Mets, I think, anyway, come the trading deadline time, which is, you know, not all that far away, a little over a month or so, at July 31st. So it's going to be interesting to see. But, you know, right now the Mets sit at 37-30. They still have a cushion in the National League East. The couple of things that I worry about are this. Number one, I still think the Mets are going to win this division. I felt this for a while. I think they're the deepest team. I think they've proven that over time here, even with all the injuries that they've had. And I haven't seen anyone really catch fire yet in this division. And there are question marks throughout this division as well. Atlanta, Washington, Philadelphia, Miami's been racked by injuries. I thought they'd be a better team than what they've shown thus far. But, you know, they've been crushed by injuries, and they were, you know, a little bit depleted to begin with, in comparison to the other four teams in the division. But these are the things that I worry about. The series you had in Washington, that's a Nationals team that can be very dangerous, but what you didn't want to do is wake them up, and I think the Mets may have woken them up. Nothing that they did, just what Washington did during that series. You got Schwarberized, obviously, by Kyle Schwarber, who had home runs left and right. But here's the thing. Max Scherzer is out right now, and so is Steven Strasburg. But they're going to be back soon. Scherzer may pitch this week, I believe. I think he is that close. He was throwing a bullpen on Sunday, and they even talked about him starting on Tuesday. I don't know if he is or not, but he's very close. And Strasburg is not that far away as well. Now, they've hung around here, and they're still under 500. But at the same time, you get those two guys back. If the team starts feeling better about themselves, if Soto picks his game up, Schwarber obviously is red hot right now. Other guys start chipping in. Trey Turner's having a great year. You got to watch out for a Nationals team. And that's one thing that I didn't want to see happen over the weekend, is the Mets wake them up. And, you know, inadvertently, they did wake them up. The other thing is, you can't wake Atlanta up. You know, you just can't wake the Braves up, because they're too good. I think they're a different team this year. Their bullpen is very spotty. They're losing leads late. They didn't do that at all last year. When they had a lead after seven innings, they locked it down last year because of a great bullpen. They can't do it this year, and they almost blew the game tonight with Will Smith on the mound. They won a 1-0 game against St. Louis, the Sunday night game, on an Acuna home run. And again, Acuna hits a home run here, and they win a 1-0 game as well. But they almost gave that away, too. You can't let Atlanta wake up. And that's why, to me, you're going to play Atlanta here a lot. This four-game series, there's another three-game series next week. You know, the Mets have got to take, you know, at least go 4-3 in those seven games. At worst, 3-4. You know, you'd love to go 5-2 and maybe set the Braves back a little bit, but, you know, at least try to keep them where they are right now and not give them any momentum and any head of steam. You got enough teams in this division who can take off. You just want to keep them dormant and quiet right now. We'll see what happens with Washington, whether they woke up after that taking 3 or 4 over the weekend against the Mets, and we'll see what happens with Atlanta. But the fewer teams you can wake up in this division, the better off for the Mets, simply because of all the injuries they have and how they're going to stack up down the line. We'll check back soon. Another Met podcast coming your way. See you soon.